Hi, I'm Mike Gasowitz, CEO of TriCert, formerly known as IAIC, and welcome to another episode of In Focus. Today, joining me is Mike Williams, portfolio manager responsible for our industrial sector. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. So, folks, we're going to go over the third quarter, what we saw from a business perspective, and perhaps how the markets reacted to the businesses within the industrial sector. A reminder to everyone, the subsectors within industrials includes transportation, manufacturing, agriculture, and technology. So maybe to begin with, Mike, we can look at things from a macroeconomic perspective. We heard from Joel Baker in terms of overall what we saw, and maybe you can kind of pull out some highlights from that and maybe some repercussions or implications to this sector.
Sure. Well, to put a broad brush over the entire sector, we can really sum it up at this point that things are being driven by uncertainty. And, you know, we do see some economic data coming out that is showing positive things that is offset by some negative data. It is also driven somewhat by every move that the Federal Reserve makes and every comment that they make. But right now, uncertainty is more or less driving many of the investors in this sector. The main themes are really all correlated. First, economic growth. Are we heading towards a recession? Are we in a recession? What does this all mean for job security and consumer confidence? The other two issues really are very, very correlated together, that being inflation and interest rates. And both of these are key to affordability, consumer and business spending, and the valuation of stocks in this sector themselves as investments.
Yeah. So some of those macro trends, it's interesting, you know, we look at things like consumer confidence, some of the positive aspects, consumer confidence, you know, even though the Fed and the Bank of Canada is trying to slow things down from an economic perspective, we are seeing some upsides or some positive indicators when it comes to consumer confidence. And maybe you can talk a bit about the PMI, what that is and what that's showing.
Sure. Well, consumer confidence, you're correct. There is confidence. Unexpected confidence in some cases within certain demographics of consumers. The PMI, though, is a real key one for the industrial sector. That's the Purchasing Managers Index, and that really measures the degree of confidence that purchasing managers have on what they're seeing flow across their desk with respect to orders. Are they seeing things slowing down? Are they seeing increased time in paying receivables, that kind of thing? So there is that measurement. And what we've seen is fairly decent consumer confidence overall. But when we kind of split that down, go down a layer or two underneath, we find that that is driven more in the service sector at this point than by manufacturing.
Good to understand that. Okay, thanks, Mike. Why don't we go into some of the subsectors, and let's talk about transportation.
Sure. Well, transportation is a fairly decent benchmark for the economy as a whole. In fact, some of the stocks in this sector are what we call bellwether stocks that are kind of leading indicators as to where we're going. Now, year over year, what we've seen, and most of our investments in this sector are in railroads. But year over year, we've seen decline in railway volumes as measured by carloads. For railroads, I mean, we saw railroads had a huge boost from a shortage in trucking, which is now easing to some degree. And increased costs, they were able to pass on any increased costs fairly easily given the demand for their services throughout 2022. And we've seen that starting to ease. So increased costs are now starting to squeeze margins and profitability in the sector. Passing these costs on to end users is becoming more and more difficult at this time. And in the rail sector, we measure something that is called the operating ratio, which really indicates the degree of efficiency. And in all cases, we've seen this heading in the wrong direction in the last quarter for the three tier one railroads that we invest in. So this is an indicator that railroads are seeing a slowdown in the broader economy and having more difficulty passing on those increased costs to their consumers.
Okay. And are we seeing that reflected in the markets in terms of the valuations?
Definitely. We saw, surprisingly, we saw railroads hold up very, very well through basically right up until the first or second quarter of this year. And we felt that they were priced a little higher than we were comfortable with, and we started to ease off on purchasing them. We've seen them pull back to some degree, probably drop 10, 12, up to 15% off of their highs. So we're getting a little bit more comfortable purchasing them, particularly when we see a turnaround in the economy. We're not quite seeing that quite yet. We're still seeing these stocks trading at relative highs compared to their historical averages, but definitely lower than what we saw in 21 and 22.
Let's talk about manufacturing.
Yeah, manufacturing for Tricert, our manufacturing sector kind of covers a broad swath of what we call subsectors almost, but we're looking at construction, resource extraction, consumer durables such as autos, appliances, other heavy manufacturing, aerospace and defense. And all of these industries are facing different nuances and challenges in today's market. You know, for example, the auto industry, after dealing with supply constraints as COVID gripped the world in 2020-21, the industry now faces what looks like an economic slowdown in the next 6 to 12 months. In fact, traditionally, auto manufacturing has been highly correlated to economic growth. So we are seeing a headwind for the industry just in the broader economy itself. So the industry at this point is going to be facing more reluctant consumers who are facing much higher costs to purchase and finance new vehicles at this time. Now, at the same time, auto workers are demanding huge wage increases and concessions.
Right.
Profits that are already squeezed are going to be squeezed even further as new agreements are put in place. And then finally, there's this given shift to electric vehicles, EVs as they're known. And there's some huge uncertainty as to what the OEMs will even be building in 5 to 10 years. So at present, with the exception of Tesla, who only manufacture EVs, these vehicles basically remain unprofitable for all of the other OEMs, other manufacturers. And some governments are beginning to waver on timelines. And at the same time, consumers are not shifting to EVs as fast as regulators would like or trying to incentivize the public to do. And that's logical. Questions abound around range anxiety, life cycle emissions. Are they actually as carbon neutral as we all want to believe they are? The impact of mineral extraction and disposal. The electrical infrastructure itself and the reliability of charging stations that presently do exist. So there's a lot of uncertainty around where the industry is going, where manufacturers should be investing their research dollars, what is going to be profitable and what is not going to be. So this is a tough time for auto manufacturers who have just come off of a tough time. So
for sure. For sure. And you've seen back to the EV front, you've seen some of the manufacturers actually scale back, you know, as they run their business, they're kind of saying, well, and it, you know, sometimes it's a chicken and egg, but you can't just push these into the market for, to your point, the challenges that are being faced with that technology. So in terms of the, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. The consumer typically drives any market, and really the EV market, if you really reflect upon it, is really being driven more by government incentives and government regulators than it is by the consumer. So given a consumer with choice, the majority of consumers are still reluctant to make that shift.
Right. So in terms of manufacturing, then, how have the markets reacted then to some of these headwinds?
Well, again, we've seen some pullback. We've seen some pullback in the industry. There's some uncertainty. We've seen the price of the American manufacturers pull back from their highs. Again, uncertainty is always priced in. You also are dealing with higher interest rates and greater uncertainty as to how you're going to value these stocks. So we've seen most stocks in this sector pull off of their highs. And at some point, you know, we hope that we're going to see them bottom out and maybe an opportunity to start acquiring bigger positions.
Okay. Let's shift to agriculture.
Yeah, sure. This is one where if we go back to 2022, in the wake of the Russian-Ukrainian war, which is now, we're now 19 months into it since the onset, we saw, following the outbreak, a huge spike in commodity prices and fertilizer. So the ag sector was basically given a huge dose of adrenaline. Now, over the past 12 months, we've seen key commodities such as corn, soybeans, and wheat actually fall in price back to pre-pandemic levels. And fertilizers such as potash actually dipping below pre-pandemic levels. So after a huge boost given by the outbreak of hostilities in Europe, we've seen the price of those commodities and fertilizer itself level off and drop faster than we would have anticipated. Now farm receipts and commodity prices are key to driving spending in this sector. So this is definitely an area where we were basically preaching some caution despite the market's enthusiasm for ag stocks over the latter part of 2022 and into the first half of 23. We were, for the most part, holding off on acquiring any position or even trimming profitable positions in some of the accounts that that held these stocks.
Okay. And so in terms of the market reaction again to some of these stats, a bit of a pullback?
Absolutely. In fact, we've seen Nutrient, which is very highly correlated, and those stocks that supply fertilizers pull back in lockstep basically with the price of fertilizer. We've seen a little bit more strength on the manufacturing side, particularly one of our core picks, which is John Deere, has held up a little bit better, still pulled back some 10 or 15% from its high. But we still feel that, you know, some caution is warranted given that price remains at a relative high compared to its long long run type of trend. So there will be an opportunity to buy it again. History's kind of shown us that this is a cyclical stock. The market will adjust even more so to bad news in the ag sector, lower prices. When the market adjusts, we may start acquiring John Deere again. We're starting to acquire Nutrient and a little bit more active in the fertilizer space, given that that's fallen far more than the manufacturing side of the ag sector.
Totally different space. Technology. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, that's our for industrial analysts. This is a weird one because it's we look at valuations on very different metrics and through a very different lens. And after reaching very lofty prices premised on aggressive valuations in in 2021. The sector itself experienced a significant decline in 22 due to the uncertain economic outlook at that time, which was ultimately impacting growth forecasts and future interest rates. And valuations in this sector are very, very sensitive to growth forecasts. We call it G in the equation, and interest rates that we term R. But this sector, more so than other sectors, is very sensitive to these two inputs. So the first half of 2023, we actually saw technology outperform the broader markets by a significant margin, as investors felt that things were starting to stabilize and the major players themselves were right-sizing their workforces. They were cutting costs. So we saw investors piling back into this space. Now, in the third quarter, we've seen more volatility, putting some pressure on the sector as interest rates continue to rise against expectations. And the NASDAQ basically went from the place to be to one of the more volatile of the major indices. Now, that isn't to say at this point we remain committed to easing a shift to a heavier weighting in this sector over time. But we want to do so using established large cap stocks in this space, as well as ETFs at this point, which diversify away some of the individual enterprise risks. So as a growing part of the economy, we do want our clients to participate in this shift in the makeup of the economic pie over the next 5 to 10 years. So we are shifting the weight somewhat. This is an ongoing process for us. We don't want to dive right into it. We tend to look more towards lower valuations and dividends. And this is a sector that you have to, as I say, is a little bit more volatile and predicated on that growth and the interest rate sensitivity. But by not investing in this, or by ignoring it, or by kind of turning a blind eye to it, we see it as being akin to avoiding railroads in the late 1800s, or the auto industry, or the energy sector in 1910. So we do want to participate in it, but we want to do so in a way that is more investing than it is speculating.
Exactly. I think that's a great summary, and back to the approach of looking for those quality companies, which can be difficult to do, at the right price when things are frothy. And so it's good to, it makes total sense to try and increase that weight, but we want to do it in a disciplined approach.
So, exactly. Good. Yeah.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much for this.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I hope the information is useful to some.
As always, folks, if you have any questions, reach out to your financial advisor or talk to your TriCert portfolio manager. And as always, don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.